Well, tonight we're going to have a lesson, start a series of lessons, really, not sequentially every Sunday evening, but once in a while, on the topic of angels. One of the things that came into the question box in the back, one of the questions or topics or suggestions that someone mentioned was that they would like to see us study about angels. And what does the Bible have to say about angels? And who are angels? And what do they do? And how do they function in the Bible? And that's a great question, but we just can't answer that question in one sermon by itself. It's such a broad category, and there's so much material in the Scriptures on angels, believe it or not, that we need to look at this in several different lessons. And so tonight, we're going to look at the question. We're just going to look at one part of the answer to the question, but then we'll continue thinking about this question next month at another particular time and thinking about angels and what they do and who they are. And so we're just going to study this together. If you have any thoughts or questions that come up in your mind while we're thinking about this, then go ahead and write those down on a piece of paper, if you don't mind, and put that question in the question box, and I can address some of those questions each month when I do the question and answer session on the first Sunday of the month, Sunday evening of the month. And we'll study this together, and it will take some time to study it, but we'll keep working on it. And I think that over time, you will find that your knowledge of this particular subject in the Bible will grow, and that you'll learn a little something about how God works in the world. So, angels. Let's first of all turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and notice a couple of things about angels. Hebrews chapter 1. It is interesting that in the book of Hebrews, the angels are compared to Jesus. And Jesus it's concluded in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 that Jesus is greater than the angels. He is superior than the angels. And they are described in chapter 1 as being ministering spirits. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? The word minister means to serve. We talked about that a little bit a couple of weeks ago when we talked about different words for the word serve. And I think it was this past Wednesday night, actually. And so they serve, they do a service, they serve those who will inherit salvation. And that's interesting because that's you and that's me, people who inherit salvation. And so angels are sent to serve us. Well, how do they serve us and what do they do? And I know a lot of people have a lot of questions about that. But we really can't know what their role is unless we really have a complete comprehensive study about them. And that's what we're going to do as we begin our study tonight. You know, this is a really popular subject in the religious world today. A lot of people want to know about angels. In 2008, there was a study conducted by Baylor University. And in this study, they put a bunch of statements, and then they had the participants answer to yes or no to these statements. And one particular question, one particular line said this, quote, "I was protected from harm by a guardian angel," end quote. 55% of the people who took that study said yes to that statement. 55%. So that's a lot of people who believe in guardian angels. Well, we're not saying one thing or another about guardian angels in our lesson tonight, but we're just saying that people do believe in angels and people are interested in that subject. From a Pew Research survey, nearly 7 in 10 Americans, 68%, believe that angels and demons are active in the world. 68%. So that's almost 7 out of 10 people, you know. And so people do believe in angels, and we need to know what the Bible has to say about angels. You know, not too many years ago, there were some very popular television programs about angels and their working in the world, you know, to help people do this and that and the other. And sometimes television programs and people's opinions can influence us to believe one thing or another about these kinds of subjects. But what we want to know is, what does the Bible say about angels? And what does it teach in this regard. And so let's just think about what the Bible says about angels and then leave the opinions to the survey group, at least from the standpoint of not allowing them to influence our beliefs, but just simply to inform us, to let us know that people do have these beliefs. But let's think about what the Bible says. The words for angel really mean messenger. There's a Hebrew word for angel, and there's a Greek word for angel. The Hebrew word for angel is malak. The Greek word for angel is angelos. You may recognize that from the name of a western city in California, Los Angeles. Los Angeles. And the word angel itself comes from the Greek word angelos. And it may sound familiar to you. And so that's the word that we use for angel, but really the word is transliterated from angelos to angel. It's not really translated. They just took the same letters and then used that to translate the word. And then it means something different, you see. When you say the word angel, that means something different from the word messenger. But the word really means a messenger. And an angel is a messenger of God. In fact, in Genesis chapter 19, in verse 1, we see there that there were three messengers that came to visit Abraham. And they're messengers of God. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, the word angelos is used to describe a messenger of Satan. And so, you see, the word angelos and the word angel, as we understand it, doesn't even necessarily mean some being that is good, although we typically refer to angels versus demons, and we talk about demons when it comes to beings that serve Satan, and angels as beings that serve God. But the Bible doesn't make that distinction. The Bible simply says that the word angelos means a messenger, and it's just a messenger of some kind. It can be a messenger for good, or it can be a messenger for evil. In fact, Paul says, and then you can reference Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9 there, as well as those who are messengers of Satan. And sometimes the word angel refers to God Himself. And then specifically in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2, when Moses is standing there at the burning bush having a conversation with God, and God says in that context, He's identified as the angel of Yahweh, or the angel of the Lord, or the messenger of the Lord, if you will. And so there's some really interesting things to study, and we're just scratching the surface here, just trying to whet your appetite, so to speak, when we think about the word angel and what it means in the Scripture. Paul talked about his thorn in the flesh as being an angelos satana, that is a messenger of Satan or an angel of Satan, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And so even some kind of disablement of some sort, which that thorn in the flesh was, some kind of disablement, even that can be referred to as an angel or messenger. Of course, that's kind of a metaphorical sense of the word. It's not a literal sense of the word. And so in a literal sense of the word, it's a messenger, a person who is a messenger. And people could be called angels who just sent messages back and forth from one government to another. They were referred to as angelos, messengers. Well, the kind of angels, of course, that we're interested in are the heavenly kind, or the kind that we often refer to as being servants of God, the ones that in popular culture are pictured as beings with wings or something like that, although the Bible never really says anything about them having wings. But when we think about angels, we're thinking primarily about those heavenly beings that are created by God to be these ministering spirits that we talked about in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. But we do note that angels are not eternal. They are not beings that have existed from all time like God has existed from all time, but they are created. Look over at Psalm 148 and verses 2 and 5. Psalm 148 and verses 2 and 5, and you'll notice here that they are referred to as being created beings. Psalm 148 and verses 2 and 5, and I'm going to get there and we're going to read that together real quick. But toward the end of the book of Psalms. But notice what the context says. Praise the Lord, verse 1, praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, notice verse 5, He commanded and they were created. And so angels are created beings. They are not from all eternity, but they are created and they are listed in the list of created things here in Psalm 148 in verses 1 through 5 and 6. And so they're created beings and they have a purpose. They're sentient beings. They are, we would say that they have free will. They can choose between right and wrong, and they have a purpose. And God has given them a purpose. And so they would be able, if God allowed them, to communicate with us, and we would be able to communicate with them. And in that regard, they are persons, not humans, but they are persons in the sense that they have sentience and they have free will and they serve God just like humans were created to serve God. But they're not humans, but they are persons. As God is a person as well. But and so that's kind of the introduction to our study about angels. And then we're going to look at five different areas in regard to angels and what the Bible has to say about them. And so we're not going to do all of that tonight. But we are going to do that over a period of time. And tonight we'll be looking at one of these areas. But I just wanted to overview these five areas where the Bible talks about angels in different ways. Number one, angels are sometimes referred to and used as agents of divine punishment or in a punitive way, as punitive agents. Number two, sometimes we see angels as benefactors. And sometimes the word angel, as we mentioned from Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2, refers to God Himself. And so we're going to have a whole study just on that usage of the word angel. As the word angel, when it refers to God Himself. And so sometimes the Scriptures talk about God being an angel with a capital A, of course. Number three, we see that there are created angels that do beneficial services to others. And we'll talk about that in another lesson. And then we find that angels are used as divine messengers. And that, of course, goes to the sort of the root concept of the word angel and what it means. And then finally, we'll ask the question as to whether or not angels should be the objects of worship. You know, there's so many people today who kind of practice that, and they kind of look at angels, and they kind of think of them as objects of worship of some kind of another. And we'll talk about that in another lesson. But tonight, we're just going to look at angels as punitive agents, or angels that are used to punish people in the Old Testament. And sometimes God did use angels to do just that. Well, we're going to start our lesson in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24. And let's turn over to there. And let's notice that one of the first times we have angels mentioned in the Bible is in regard to punishing man because of man's sin in the Garden of Eden. And they play kind of a positive or a role in a way, but then in another way they play a negative role. And we're going to compare and contrast these roles that the angels play here. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24, we read these words. So He drove out the man, and He placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Now let me give you a little history about this. Adam and Eve had sinned against God by eating the forbidden fruit. And because of that, God cast them out of the Garden of Eden. And to prevent them from coming back into the Garden of Eden to eat from the tree of life, which would have given them eternal life forever, He placed these cherubim, or these angels. And they prevented man from entering back into the Garden of Eden. And there was this flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life as well to prevent them from coming back. And so in this particular verse, we understand that cherubim were doing two things. Number one, they were preventing man from returning and eating of the tree of life. And this, of course, eventually led to the fact that they would die in the earth. Because if they didn't have access to the tree of life, then they would pass away and they would die. And that was one of the things that God told Adam and Eve, that in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And so death came upon all men because of Adam and Eve's sin here and because of their not following God's instructions. And so these angels were used to prevent man from entering in and then also to guard access to this tree of life. Another role that angels play as a punishment to man is we see that they are not always used in a way that is blessed to bless men, but sometimes they're used to punish men. And I think that's contrary to the sort of popular concept of angels. You know, everybody who believes in angels, typically speaking, they want to think that angels are there to reward them or to help them or to benefit them in some way or to, you know, guard them and from harm and things like that. But when we look at what the Bible says, the Bible sometimes talks about angels as being punitive agents, agents that are really punishing because of the sins of man. And we've just seen one example, but there's more examples. In Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1, for example, we start in that context, the beginning of the story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah are two cities that are exceedingly wicked, the Bible says. They're caught up in homosexuality, and they're caught up in other sins of other kinds. And God comes to Abraham and he says, you know, I'm going to destroy these cities because they've been so wicked. And then angels are sent to these cities to examine, to see whether or not the reports are true, first of all, and then secondly, to initiate the destruction of these cities. And so they were punishing agents in this example. Genesis chapter 19, verse 11 says that they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, and both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. These were men who had come, actually, to rape them and to use them in a sexually immoral way. And so these angels punished these men for their desires and for what they were trying to do. And then ultimately, they punished the city as well. So they were punitive. They punished. That's the idea. That's the concept of the word punitive. It means to punish and to hand down punishment for sins that people commit. But we also see in 2 Samuel chapter 24 that David, in committing a sin against God, God sent an angel to punish the nation because of David's national sin. 2 Samuel chapter 24 is the story of David going out and numbering the people against God's will and against God's wishes. And then as a result of David's sin, God came to him through a prophet and said, you can have your choice of one of three punishments. And David chose the punishment of having a plague. And so it was a plague that was visited upon Israel. And it says that an angel initiated this plague and that it was destroying the people. Verse 16, when the angel stretched out his hand over to Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, it is enough. Now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And so this is an interesting story, and there's a purpose to this story in the scriptures, and we could study that some other time, but we just pause to note that an angel was used here. God used an angel to punish men. We also see that in 2 Samuel chapter, in Acts chapter 12 and verses 22 through 33, that Herod Agrippa I was punished by an angel because he elevated himself to the place of God and he accepted worship as God. And in those verses, the people shouted, saying, the voice of a God and not a man. And immediately, this is what the Bible says, immediately an angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. And so he died as a result of not giving God glory that God deserves and that he didn't deserve. And an angel of the Lord smote him and punished him because of that. And so what we learn from this is that angels are not always there to sort of hold our hand and guide us along, but they are there sometimes to punish the wicked and to do things that God wants done in relationship to that. And so angels as portrayed in the scriptures is something quite different from the popular concept that a lot of people have. Now, these aren't the only things that are said about angels in the Bible. And if you leave tonight thinking, well, angels are just, you know, these horrible beings that punish men all the time, then you're going to get a skewed view of what the Bible says, because we're taking this subject one thing at a time. We're looking at one thing at a time, and then eventually we'll look at some other things related to angels as well. And so you've got to take all of the scriptures and what all the scriptures say about angels. And sometimes they are there to help man and be beneficial to man and to minister to man. But sometimes they're not. And so we need to be careful about popular concepts of what the Bible says and what the Bible doesn't say, because sometimes these popular concepts can be wrong and they don't really represent what the Bible says. And we need to go to what the Bible says and just study it and let it inform us as to what God teaches us about such things. And so angels are sometimes portrayed in the scripture as being punitive in relationship to men when the circumstances call for it. And of course, those circumstances are determined by God and not by us. Another place in which God uses angel in a sort of retributive way against some in order to protect his people is found in Isaiah chapter 37 and verses 33 through 37. And so sometimes angels are used to punish men for their sins, but sometimes they're used to protect God's people and destroy others who are trying to attack God's people. And that's what we find here in Isaiah chapter 37. Well, let's open up to Isaiah 37 and read a few verses. Isaiah 37 and verse 33 and following. So let's see what that says. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mount against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return. And he shall not come into the city, says the Lord. And this is what God says, for I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Verse 35. Now look at verse 36. Then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. And so here was an attacking army standing on the threshold of attacking the city of Jerusalem. And God sent his prophet to say, no, you know what? I'm not going to allow you to conquer this city. I'm going to save it. And God sent an angel then to fight a battle against this opposing army, and he ended up killing 185,000 troops from that army, the Bible says. So sometimes angels are used in this kind of way to both punish those who are opposed to God's people and to protect God's people as well. This was punishment upon Sennacherib for his blasphemy against God that verses 23 through 24 indicates in the same chapter here. And it also provided the protection for which Hezekiah had prayed that God provide. The king of Syria sent a great force, but they were defeated. Another example of angels in this regard is found in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verses 13 and 14. Let's turn over there for just a moment. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verses 13 and 14. And this was a great force of men who were sent to capture the prophet Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verses 13 and 14. And he sent these men to capture Elisha because Elisha was prophesying to the armies of Israel, telling them how to escape defeat from the hands of the Syrians. And so in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 13 and 14, we read these words. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send him and get him. So that was the command of this king to Elisha. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. Now look at verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God, this is Elisha, arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And so he answered, Elisha said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. So here's another example where the chariots of the Lord, filled with the hosts of the Lord, were surrounding this army, and they then were protecting Elisha from harm, and they punished those who were attacking him and going after him. So the popular concept of angels is interesting, but it's certainly not necessarily what the Scriptures teach about angels and what they do. In fact, what we've learned tonight is that sometimes angels are used in punitive ways to punish, and that's certainly not something that the popular concept of angels is concerned with, as it's concerned mostly about, you know, well, what can I get from God, and what can God give to me, and what can He do for me? And of course, that's certainly not the message that the Bible has for us, but we're supposed to be honoring God and worshiping God, and the question that we are to be asking is, what can I do for God, and how can I serve Him, and what can I do to honor and glorify Him within my life? And that's a question that many people simply do not ask as a result of their own desires, as a result of their own lusts for things within this world. And so they bend the concept of the Scriptures to suit them. And that's one thing that they do with angels, thinking of them as just there to serve their needs and just there to take care of them and do what they want to do with their life. But of course, that's not what the Bible teaches. And tonight, we've noticed some things along those lines. Now, next time we talk about this, we will talk about the divine angel and God being referred to as an angel in Scripture. And that he does perform actions of blessing or actions of benefit for mankind. But it's always for a purpose, and it's always for a reason. And it is there to accomplish the salvation of man and the glorification of God. And so as we think about that in closing tonight, I hope that you will come back and you will listen to more of this study as we continue to think about angels in the Scriptures, and that we will continue to study this and be open to what the Scriptures have to say, and to really learn and know what the Bible is teaching about angels in the world today. I'm thankful for the person who asked the question. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to share with you the things that the Bible says. And let's study together, and let's learn together, and let's grow together. And that's all we can ask of one another. Well, tonight we extend the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do note that there is a great day coming in which the sinners will be separated from the saints. And there will be those who stand on the right hand and those who stand on the left hand. Those who stand on the right hand will be invited into heaven forever. Jesus will say to them, "Come, inherit the blessings prepared of me for my Father, for you." And they will be invited in. But those who stand on the left hand will be told, "Depart from me." And so the Bible does cast a difference between the righteous and the sinful. But the Bible also is inviting those who have committed sin within their life to repent of those sins and to come back to God. God is not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, but that all should come to repentance. But there is going to be a day of reckoning. And will we be prepared for that day? I hope that we will all be. You can make preparations tonight if you're not a Christian by becoming one, through hearing God's word and believing it, confessing Jesus as the Christ, repenting of your sins, and being baptized for the remission of sins. You can become a Christian tonight. God will add you to that kingdom of His. And then on that great day, if you've been found faithful to Him, He will say, "Come, blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared by my Father for eternity." And I hope that everyone here tonight will be in that group. But there will be others, and they will not be prepared. And what will they face in that day but separation from God for eternity? Well, tonight we want to make preparation. If you're a Christian, but you haven't been living faithfully, then certainly the time is now to make those changes and to make yourself right with God. We see that God does punish the wicked and that He does reward the righteous. And that both of these things are taught in Scriptures. And angels are just an example, one example of His doing that. And so we've seen tonight that angels are used to punish the wicked. But we also note that they are used to reward the righteous. And so as we think about these things this evening, as we think about our own lives and relationship to God, we want to be in that category of people that God calls righteous, not in that category of people that God calls wicked. And so tonight, if you have a need, if you need to make things right with God this evening, we stand ready to help you. And you can come now while we stand and sing this song of encouragement.